Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about cars. I haven't talked about cars in a long time because I've been too busy taking care of my baby boy and writing about everything else but cars. I mean, there's a lot going on in the stock market, real estate market, and so forth. So I thought, you know what? Automobiles, not really that important. But what I realized is that at one point, I was a supercar fanatic. That's all I thought about in high school when I wanted to buy this awesome 1995 Mustang 5.0 GT, but I couldn't. But I did get to test drive one, and I was like, wow, I was hooked. Nice cars, big engines, pretty fun. And then in college, I had this really crappy Toyota Corolla FX16 hatchback, but it got me to where I wanted to go, and I had a lot of fun in it. So once I started working, I promised myself that I would finally buy a nice car, because that's what a lot of males think about when they start working. They're like, you know what? I'm going to arrive when I get a car. And a car I did buy, and that was a G500 Mercedes-Benz when I was 24 years old, which was the biggest mistake at the time of my financial life. And so that was when the 1/10th rule for car buying was born. So for those who don't know, the 1/10th rule for car buying states that you should spend no more than 1/10th your gross income on the value of the car you're going to buy. So if you want to buy a $30,000 car, you need to make at least $300,000. If you want to buy a secondhand $50,000, BMW 7 Series, which usually costs about $80,000 now, you're going to have to make $500,000 plus. And the whole concept behind the 1/10th rule for car buying is to protect yourself from yourself. We all know that cars depreciate over time. At least 99% of cars do. Yeah, you can buy the really rare multi-$100,000 or multi-$1 million cars like Jay Leno and buy them as collections and investments, but most of us can't afford that kind of coin. A car, I think, is the number one personal finance killer for folks in their 20s and 30s. You know, I don't know what it is, an obsession with cars we have here in the United States, but if you go to Europe, people don't really care, even though that's where a lot of the luxury cars are made. They love smaller cars where they can park better and have better fuel consumption because petrol is much more expensive out there. But actually, if you go to Asia, Asian folks in Asia love cars. You go to Hong Kong or Singapore or Malaysia, the tax rate on cars is 30 to 100%. So if you wanted to buy, let's say, a normal Honda Civic that's now about $25,000 here in the United States, you'd have to pay about $50,000 to $60,000 in Singapore. It's that crazy, but people lap it up all the time. People spend $300,000 for a $140,000 Porsche 911 out there. So it's kind of nuts. So we do have it good here in the United States because we don't have huge tariffs in comparison to other countries in the world. So in this podcast, just wanted to talk about how it's been like following the 1/10th rule for car buying for the past 15 years. And it's just a drive down memory lane where I wanted to talk about what car I bought at what age and then some lessons learned. So after I bought my stupid $75,000 Mercedes G500 SUV when I was 24 years old, I had a lot of buyer's regret, right? So this is when the 1/10th rule for car buying came about in 2002. And I didn't really put it into writing until after I started Financial Samurai after 2009. But the whole thing was, I wanted a nice car, I got it, but then that $720 a month finance payment really started bumming me out because it was the same every single month. Whereas the car, you know, initially the first several months was really thrilling and I was afraid to park it in the street and all that, but it was really fun to drive, felt like a boss, whatever. You know, this is what you do as a 24-year-old kid. And then after a while, that enthusiasm fades and you realize, maybe I could have put that money to better use. So a year and a half later, I sold the G500 for a $17,000 loss because it wouldn't fit in the garage of a condo I wanted to buy. Although this was an expensive lesson, I did end up buying the condo in 2003 for $580,000. And that was the point where I decided never to spend more than 10% of my income on a vehicle again. And I'm really thankful I took that $17,000 loss because the condo is now worth maybe around $1.25 to $1.3 million and it doesn't have a mortgage anymore. So that condo is generating about $4,500 a month gross, and after expenses and all that, it gives me about $2,500 net $30,000 net a month, which is better than a poke in the eye. So the lesson learned from this stage is don't buy new, obviously. The depreciation curve is way too aggressive. Consider buying a 3 to 5 year old car instead. Further, I would say don't buy a car at all until after you're 25, especially if you have school debt. Take public transportation, take rideshare for goodness sake. I mean, it's so cheap taking an Uber pool or a Lyft line now, or just ride with friends. Back, you know, in 2002, 2003, there was no such thing as Uber and Lyft, and now it's just so cheap. And after at least 3 years of work, or 25 years old, you'll appreciate the value of a dollar more and hopefully shun expensive vehicles. So after I bought my condo, I was 26 years old, I went from a brand new $75,000 Mercedes G500 to a 7-year-old Honda Civic sedan worth $7,500. And that was really awesome. I love the Honda Civic so much because it reminded me of my childhood. My mom had one when we were growing up. But I was actually embarrassed to drive it around as a third-year associate in investment banking. You know, investment bankers are supposed to be, you know, wearing tailor-made suits, drive fancy cars, and eat dry-aged steak dinners every night. At least that was the reputation back then. So I never really wanted to talk about cars with anyone since I never wanted to tell anybody what car I drove. Yet I was a car enthusiast. I was a car fanatic. Every single night or several times a week, I would go on Craigslist and I'd look at what was out there and I'd read the car magazines like Car and Driver and so forth. It was so fun. To make matters worse, my two closest friends drove really nice cars. One drove a BMW X5 and another drove a Mercedes E-Class Coupe, which actually we made fun of him because he was only 26 years old and an E-Class Coupe is kind of like an old man's car. But I held strong because I still felt really stupid buying that G500 and I drove that Civic for another year. But after about a year, you know what? I realized life is kind of too short driving a Civic when you're making decent money. So I went on Craigslist and I bought a used 1997 BMW M3 for $14,000. And that still fit in the 1/10th rule for car buying. It was a beautiful car, black on black, aftermarket wheels, tinted black windows, to look sharp, sharp, sharp. And then I finally felt, hey, you know what? This is the right balance. It's still a reasonably cheap car, $14,000, but it was a BMW that was souped up and it looked really, really good. And at the time, I was driving myself 45 minutes to Berkeley for my MBA program, and every other week it was down in the South Bay, which was an hour drive. So it was so fun to drive this car to and from. So the lesson I learned from this stage is that it's natural to want a nice car in your 20s to help boost your stature. The thing is, nobody really cares or expects you to be rich or successful in your 20s. It's much more impressive, I think, if you drive a beater in your 20s because it shows you have more important priorities. If I saw a guy, you know, driving a G500 at 26 years old, I would think, this guy is either an idiot or it's bank of mom and dad or this guy has really some serious, serious self-esteem issues. So if your boss, think about your boss. If your boss sees you driving in a luxury vehicle to work every day, he's not going to want to pay you or promote you because you're already rich, right? So instead, you need to be a little bit more stealth. You can still get plenty of status points by owning a used luxury brand vehicle for much less money. Moving on, from 28 to 35 years old, 2005 to 2012, by the time I turned 28, I was feeling pretty good about my career progression. I had 6 years of work experience under my belt, got my MBA from Berkeley, and was 1 year in as a vice president. So no longer did I need a nice car to give me an ego boost. That's what my career was doing. So instead of wanting a nice car to further boost my ego, I went the complete opposite way and started driving a beater again. As coincidence perhaps would have it, the 1997 BMW M3 started having some transmission problems. Every time I'd come to a stop sign or a stoplight, the engine or the transmission would just lurch forward for some reason. So I got rid of that car, actually for about $14,000, and I decided to get a 2000 Land Rover Discovery 2 that I named Moose. And I wanted to get this vehicle because, one, it looked good, two, it was a Land Rover, so it had some cachet, and three, it could take us up to the mountains in Lake Tahoe where we bought a vacation rental property. And it was good value. The woman that I bought it from was relocating to Amsterdam, and she didn't care about getting the best price possible. She just wanted a quick sale. So I was able to get the car for $8,000. I mean, everybody looking at the Land Rover would look at it as a more like a $40,000 car, but I got it for $8,000, and it was in great shape because it was under warranty for the 3 years that she owned it. So it felt really, really awesome to get paid double the amount as a VP versus an associate, live in a nicer property while driving a 42% cheaper vehicle than my previous one, which was already really cheap, right? I went from a $14,000 vehicle to an $8,000 vehicle. And some would say I was overly frugal, but I really didn't care. I loved Moose, and if you look at my archives of auto posts from 2009 to 2014, I wrote constantly about Moose for the first 5 years of Financial Samurai's life. So the lesson that I learned from this stage is, do your best to make it by 30 with your wealth or with your career. Or at least by 30, know that you're on the right track to making it. With more money, you'll get hooked on the power of compound returns and passive income. So all this money that I was making for my career, I just couldn't dump it into a nice car. I wanted to make even more money from the stock market and real estate market. That's why I needed every single dollar to buy my new property and my vacation property and what would be my upcoming fixer-upper in 2014. So after I turned 35 years old, that was what, 2012, I no longer cared about my image. Why? Because I engineered my layoff. I didn't have an office to drive to. There were no clients to pick up for an event. It was amazingly liberating. Moose, my 14-year-old SUV at the time, was finally traded in for $3,000 in 2014 because it had 5 warning lights flashing. It couldn't pass California smog, and I didn't want to spend over $1,000 fixing it, so I said, you know what? It's time to get a new car. So I got a new car, which was kind of weird because I told myself I would never buy another new car again, but I got $3,000 from the Honda dealer and I got the Honda Fit. And the Honda Fit was about $20,000 new, but I leased it. And again, that's not a really common good advice from the personal finance community, but the lease was $235 a month and I put it on the business. $235 is really nothing much based on the current income that I was generating. So, and I drove that car for 3 years and it felt great because it didn't attract any attention. I felt wonderful being invisible because I had bought a new house in a new middle-class neighborhood and it was reliable and it fit in a lot of parking spots. And then after 3 years, I returned the Honda Fit back to the dealership and I plunked down a wad of cash for a 2015 Range Rover SUV Sport in December 2016. And I'll call it the Tata Motor SUV because that's what people were making fun of me buying. And that's great. Tata Motors from India, number one, baby. It had 11,200 miles on it. And I decided to buy this car because it was relatively good value and it was much, much heavier and safer than the Honda Fit. We just had a baby boy and I could not forgive myself. I could not live with myself if something were to happen to him in an accident if we were driving in the Honda Fit. And I didn't feel guilty at all. It was interesting because I'd been so frugal for 13 years driving these cheap, cheap cars. And when I plunked down this wad of cash, it was $58,000, I didn't feel bad at all. I was 40 years old. I was turning 40 years old in 7 months. And I didn't feel guilty one bit. So I love the Tata Motors SUV and I plan to drive it until it stops working or until we go on our international adventure, whichever comes first. But interestingly enough, I'm kind of sad. I no longer love cars the way I did in my 20s and 30s. I used to love going to Barnes & Noble and reading all the car magazines. And I used to love going online looking at all the latest cars. But priorities change. So the lesson learned from this stage is, once you achieve financial independence, you're okay with driving something very boring, very plain, very cheap, or something really, really flashy. It doesn't really matter because you don't really care what other people think anymore. You just do what is most important and what feels good to you. You have the ability and the choice to drive whatever you want. Also, when you're over 40, nobody cares if you drive a flashy car anymore. Really, I mean, 40, 50-year-old Porsche driving man, woman, doesn't really matter. But in your 20s, it looks kind of weird. And if you have a family, your main priorities for the vehicle are safety and reliability. And if you can find a vehicle that looks good and fun to drive as well, then all the better. So as I conclude this podcast, I want to reiterate that it's not worth spending money on a nice car you can't afford. Stick to the 1/10 rule for car buying, or less. You'll be so happy to have saved and invested all that money in the meantime, because it will help you get to financial freedom sooner rather than later. Cars give you the greatest joy when they're reliable and don't stress you out financially. Not only will the 1/10th rule prevent you from ever feeling buyer's remorse, if you want a nicer vehicle, you'll simply be more motivated to earn more money. And that was my case when I was in my 20s and 30s, and that's the case now in my 40s. Even the most economical cars now have fantastic features that were once reserved for luxury vehicles. Think about, let's say, like a Honda Fit for $20,000. It has power windows, power locks, Bluetooth, backup camera, side view camera, a couple USB chargers, and paddle shifters, which are kind of ridiculous for the car that has only a 1.5 or 6 liter engine. But these features were only available to luxury cars 10 years ago, and now they're available to the most economical cars. So save your money, folks. Be disciplined. Enjoy your cars. Focus on safety and reliability. And follow the 1/10th rule for car buying for life. Thanks so much, everyone. I'd love to hear if any of you are ardent followers of the 1/10th rule for car buying. And I'd love to know what your car buying journey has taught you over time.